All right, so we're going to continue with our message series now. I have loved doing this series on winning the war in your mind. I think a lot of times we forget just how important it is to challenge our own thinking, how it is that we can get caught up in patterns that are not healthy for us and not good, but we slide into them. And so I'm being really deliberate. And in Romans, it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so this series, we've been working at that. If you've missed any of the messages, easy to get. You can get them on the app or with our website. You can either watch or just download the audio files. It doesn't cost anything. And I hope you will do it. And this is also a great thing to do with your small group or with your family, where you're able to think through these things and begin a pattern of just regularly evaluating, how am I doing? How is my train of thought? Am I focused on the things that matter? Have I slid into some things that maybe culturally have become very normal, but maybe not good and healthy? I'm going to read Psalm 100. It's an amazing psalm, and it explains a few things that go into our message today. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to say that one again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. There is something about this that I'll call it the secret ingredient to spiritual and mental health. And that is this idea of being grateful, being thankful, and deliberately choosing to be that way. And for it to constantly be something that we're growing. This idea of having gratitude, it doesn't happen automatically, and it doesn't happen very easily in our culture. In our culture, we're pretty well trained to complain and whine, point out fault, look for failures in others. And as we've seen in this series, an attitude of humility and openness to God, it's naturally going to lead to thankfulness and gratitude. But we still have to work hard at it. We can't just assume it's going to happen. This attitude of being grateful and thankful is the result of building strong, I'll call them thankfulness muscles. I've been in meetings before where you could easily say, tell me some things that are going wrong, and we can have a long list of those. But when you say, tell me some things that are going good, it gets strangely silent, at least initially, because we just gravitate toward negative. We gravitate toward what's wrong or what we're missing or what's not right. 1 Thessalonians 5, I love this. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Followers of Jesus, we should be known for our attitude of thankfulness. And it says to be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't mean that all circumstances are good in and of themselves. It means that even in the tough ones, even in the things that are miserably difficult, remember that God is still there. God is with you. God will even use the difficult circumstances for something good in our lives. We looked at this last week. God is sovereign. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He knows it all, and he's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent or omnipotent. He has the power to do whatever is right and good whenever. And so we have, knowing that God is with us, God is for us, we have reason to be thankful, even in the most dire circumstances, even in those situations that are miserably, miserably painful for us. I wanted to tell you a quick story that I read the other day, and it was so powerful. It's about a lady named Kimberly Slavens. She was a divorced single parent. And her story started 10 years ago. She was coming home from a bar. This was her pattern a lot of evenings after work. And on her way home, she got pulled and she got a DUI. To make matters worse for her, this was the second one in a short period of time. And so she lost her license for a year. She was initially just super, super angry. The officer that pulled her over, a guy named Brett Lee, she just saw him as ruining her life. And so she ended up going to court. She went to rehab, and then she went to AA. And after about 6 months of rehab and AA, it says in the article in the Washington Post, she turned her resentment into gratitude. She realized that the officer had rescued her from causing harm to herself or others, that if she had continued the way she was going, drinking as much as she was going to do some major, major damage. At her one-year anniversary, she sent a thank you card, took it to the police station, and gave it to the officer. She said in there, "I admit that I'm an alcoholic. I've now been 1 year sober, and I thank you for helping me start the journey." Do you know, every year for the past 10 years, she has hand-delivered a card to Officer Lee. She has thanked him in person, because she realizes that had it not been for that, who knows where she would have ended up being. She's thanked him that now she's been able to save enough money to have a home. She's been a good mom. She's connected with him. They've done a few things together, and he's been awarded some commendations for how he's responded to her. And I think this is very interesting too. Mrs. Slavens has said that her annually expressing gratitude to Officer Lee, what it's done is it's helped her stay on track. It's provided some accountability for her. She goes, "You know, I still want to drink." Most of us that have had drug and alcohol problems, if we're honest, we'll say there are times when we really do have the urge. But she's realized that this was a wake-up call for her, and she regularly has built this into her life to be grateful and thankful and to express it specifically. I really do love this story because it's a reminder that we live in a broken world, we're broken people, but even in the midst of the worst circumstances, there are things to be grateful for. And being grateful that you got a DUI, be grateful that you lost your license, it comes from recognizing what else could have happened. And anyway, I've been challenged by that, and I'm grateful for the story. All too often, I think what happens to us too is we can be very specific in our complaints, but very general in our thanks. And we really do need to reverse this. We can make a long list of all the things that we think are not right, how we've been mistreated, what people should have done or shouldn't have done. But then when it comes to being thankful, we might say some general things. "Oh, I'm alive," or, "You know, I know God cares about me," and stuff. But it's like we elevate complaining, and we really limit Thanksgiving. We need to reverse it and just be very specific about the things we're grateful for. In fact, the take-home sheet will give some handles on this. Be very specific. You know, what can I be grateful for? To God, to the people around me, opportunities that I have that maybe I easily take for granted. You know, Colossians 4:2, we use this every Thanksgiving. The Sunday after that, we do an open mic service. We've done this for a long time. And the verse that we've used every time is Colossians 4:2. It says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and thankful heart." Another translation says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." You know, it makes so much sense that we would be deliberate about this, because a clear mind and a healthy mind is one that is thankful, one that is grateful. And it feeds on being specific about this. You know, Becky and I have been married now for a long time, and I have a long list of things that I am really, really grateful for that she's brought into my life. I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to her. There have been times in the past, though, when I focused mostly on what she needs to change, what is not quite going right, or, you know, just kind of that self-centered attitude. When we build these muscles of being grateful and thankful, it changes us, it changes our relationships, it changes our perspective on what's actually happening in the moment. We talked about perspective last week. God is constantly working to get our attention. And if we'll humbly pay attention, we will see things that could easily be missed, that once we have our eyes open, that we realize, great day. I don't know why I missed that. I don't know why I was so blinded in my complaining or my stubbornness, my just wanting things differently. Can you imagine what would happen in your work, in your home, school, your neighborhood, if there was this constant vigilance about just being grateful and thankful? What if you walked your neighborhood after the snow and just started looking for things to be thankful for? I really do believe this is transformative. And so I just hope that you'll join me, and that we will work hard as a community, a church community, to be people that really work hard at this idea of being grateful and thankful. Last year, I was at a funeral for some parents that lost a child, and which is just so hard for parents to bury a child. And the mother and I were talking and in preparing for the funeral, and she said something I've not forgotten. She said, you know, I am just grateful for the years we had together with our daughter. And I don't hear that much. I hear a lot of, and understandably, you know, brokenness because a life's been cut short and someone's gone. And this mother was heartbroken, no question about it. But for her to deliberately say, I am grateful that God gave us the years we had. I'm grateful that we had this time together. And it just made me rethink my view or how I filter what's going on. Is there more I wish? Of course, there are a lot of things I wish were different. But maybe seeing this foundation of being grateful and thankful can help me see things so that I can appreciate what's really there. And maybe it'll help me also create opportunities to where I can make a difference. Anyway, I want to close with a passage. This is going to be in the take-home sheet. And I'd like you to take some time, and you can do this individually, you can do it as a family, you can do it in your small group. But this passage has two significant sections to it that have to do with how we train our mind, especially with things to be grateful for and thankful for. It's Philippians 4, starting with verse 6. The first part is, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So this first part is, God invites us to come and pray. He invites us to come to Him and for the things that we believe we need to ask Him. He's a good parent, a good father. And it says, tell God what you need, but thank Him for what He has done. If I'm not careful, I minimize, or I just kind of fade out the things that God's already done. And I just focus on what I think I need right now. And by being grateful and thankful for all God's already done, it reminds me, A, that I can trust Him, It also reminds me that no matter what is happening right now, I am fortunate. Do you know one of the greatest things that, and I believe this is true, if God never answered another prayer for me, I have every reason to be thankful for him for eternity, because he sent his son for me, and my sins have been forgiven. I've been adopted into his family. I have a brand new life because of what he's done for me. And that sense of thankfulness and gratitude, what it does is it, when I come and express to God needs or I ask him for things, it reminds me that I don't have to convince him of anything, and I don't have to persuade him. He already has proven how much he loves me. And thankfulness and gratitude shape my thinking and my expectations. This passage goes on a little further, and it goes, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts, and it's saying this is where you train your mind or channel your thinking this way. It goes, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. This is from the pastor of that church. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So what thanksgiving and gratitude do is they reshape my thinking so that I am building into my heart and my mind those things that are building blocks of clear thinking, of clear acting, of really being able to perceive accurately what's going on around me. So that I can see my life, I can see God, I can see others around me clearly, and I can move deliberately into this world that we have. You and I are the ones in control of how we think. No one makes us think a certain way. We make the choices. And so in this series, we've looked at this winning the war in our mind and this secret ingredient to having a healthy heart and mind and spiritual life is just deliberately choosing to be thankful and grateful. We have every reason to. There, in the take-home sheet, the challenge is to think through some of these things. Be very specific about them. And doing it with others is very helpful because sometimes they can help us see things that we would miss. This Kimberly Slavens, thinking about her turning DUI and losing her license for a year into something to be grateful for. What a great example. Let's challenge each other with that. I want to make one quick announcement, too. This is something that is very important, so please hang on for another couple minutes. Over the past couple years, our leadership team's been working on a strategic plan. You know, we're no longer a startup church. We're 34 years old. And there are things that we need to look at strategically so that we're aware of where we are, what things are coming up, things that we need to be looking at, be prepared for. And in one of those things, it comes to succession planning. Thinking about staffing and leadership along the way. And one of those is my job. As a senior pastor, I do carry an important role. It's not necessarily more important than others, but it is important. And so we've been talking about this succession planning. And I just wanted you to know that we're looking at this deliberately, trying to be very careful about what we do. And we're letting you know early about this so you can be praying. We have, we're working on a process for this. We've hired a consultant that has got a great track record of working with churches and organizations of all sizes on how to do really healthy succession planning. We're not looking to replace so much me, but my role. Couple of questions let me answer on this. One is, I'm not being asked to leave. There's not any kind of secret or hidden things going on behind the scenes. At my age, we do want to be thinking about this. I love what I do. Becky and I love being here, but we also know that there are times and seasons for change. And so for right now, the leadership team's working on this. We'll keep you informed about it. We do want you to be praying. Right after we started New Hope, we used to use this, and we still do, a tagline. It's called "The Adventure Continues." The thing about adventures is there are all kind of things that happen, things that catch you off guard, things that surprise you, things that you're, well, wow, we have a challenge to work on this. And this is really part of that strategy of buying into, this is an adventure we're on, it's God's church, what is he doing? And we're gonna be trying to figure that out as we go forward. So no major changes happening right now. We're just letting you know that there will be succession that's coming up. We'll be keeping you informed, be glad to get your opinions on it. We don't have a time frame. I'm sure I'll be here the rest of this year. And I don't have anything else I want to do, so I don't plan to be, I'm not mailing it in. And we're not on any kind of a farewell tour right now. You just be praying with us as we think about succession. There's no winding down in this. We got work to do. God is doing some great things among us, and we want to keep after it. So the adventure does continue. It's going to be exciting to see what God does. And I'm just glad that we get to do it together. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we get used at times to disruptions like being snowed out on a weekend. Help us to not allow disruptions to derail us. Help us to be people that allow gratitude and thankfulness to have a primary seat in our hearts and minds. There's so many things that you have already done for us. Sending your son Jesus so that we could be forgiven and have new lives. Amazing. Knowing that we have audience with you whenever we want to. Phenomenal. God, help us to be people that humbly trust you, follow you with our whole hearts. And as we move through this new year together, help us to do it well and deliberately and to see you working in a way that keeps wind in our sails. God, we love you. We're grateful to you. And we ask all this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. See you guys. Hang in there.